Introducing the family. Many of you already know them, but maybe not all by name. We praise the Lord that we're able to all be here. We're really thankful to be all together. You know, you've seen a few of us from time to time, but that's a real great blessing to be able to be on this furlough together, which we waited quite a while for because our last one was in 2014 when we met all of you, and not all of you, but I mean many of you, those who were here at the time. And I wanted to ask if Isaiah could maybe start us off with a word of prayer, my son Isaiah, and then I'll introduce the family. Amen. Okay, I'll start with my wife. She was first. Praise the Lord for bringing us together. And my wife is Cheryl. Maybe you could all stand right there for a minute. This is. Cheryl and Geneva, Isaiah, Josiah, Anna, Sarah's on the other end, Katie, Faith, and John Baptiste is the latest addition that some of you met him before. So we praise the Lord for his many blessings and for the family he's given us to raise for him. First Corinthians, I want to read from verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world, of the world, to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. Well, our Lord and Savior said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we know he's building the church. It's his work. It's not going to fail. It's already successful beyond anybody's wildest expectations. The one who was crucified and rose from the dead, and he's set forth the Holy Spirit, and he's building his church all over the world, and people will be saved, as we read in Revelation, out of every tongue and tribe and nation and language, and he sends us forth here in St. Louis area and in all parts of the United States and all over the world. And so we simply give ourselves to him, let him lead us, guide us, be our strength, and power, and the work of the Holy Spirit takes place as we preach the Word of God, which, as we read, is the foolishness of God, which is stronger than and wiser than men. And it's God's pleasure to use weak vessels such as we are. And I wanted to preface my remarks or the photos with these words and looking at 1 Corinthians 1 for just a moment, because I wanted to emphasize that it's really the Lord that has done all this that has happened in really the last 3 years. When we went back in 2014, we were here in 2014 during our furlough. We have been in Chile about 15 years, over 15 years, from 2007 onwards, from the time when our family first went. Katie and Faith were born in Chile. And John Baptiste here the year that we were here in 2014, when we met you all, I think it was January, February of that year. And, well, in 2014 when we bent back, we began to work independently from the presbytery with which we were working before. So in the circumstances, providence of God, it really was like starting all over in 2014 when we returned. We were in a new area about two and a half hours away from where I lived before. I wasn't teaching at the seminary that I was teaching at before, and so on. So that was a real changing moment in our history, or the history of the work in Chile, my work, our work, the Lord's work in our case. And we, you know, had to get to know the people in this new area. We were in Santa Clara. We actually live in the country about a mile out of the small town named Santa Clara, in a community which is a kind of the county called Bulnes. And or as they say, Bulnes. In that area, we're about 10 minutes away from the town of Bulnes, and then that's Santa Clara, and then we're about, you know, just a few minutes outside on a dirt road where we live. And we actually meet in our home and so on. You'll be seeing that in the pictures. Well, I had a student when I went back, because his family, his parents had asked if I would be able to help him, train him for the ministry, and that's Julio, who I have a picture of him somewhere here, and I'll point him out. And then in that year, which was the end of 2014, when was that now? Let's see. We started in 2015 when we went back, but in 2020, right when we were going to and hoping to go on furlough, the plan was that Julio and his sister Joanna would come down and live in our house while we came here and were on furlough in 2020. We had our tickets, and many of you know Sarah and Geneva were here for 8 months because they left and escaped on March 11th and arrived here in St. Louis with their grandfather. And we were supposed to come and join them and meet in South Carolina about 3-4 weeks later. But the Lord had different plans, and we had our tickets to leave for the eight of us, the rest of us, on the 23rd of March. Well, right about the 15th of March, we had some of these families visiting with us at that moment. The Miranda family was there, and another one that's not pictured. And Julio was with us because he was getting ready to stay. But as it worked out, we were advised by the mission board to cancel. Things were a disaster on the East Coast here. And they said, you know, it just was not the time to take our furlough, or we should stay in Chile. And well, that was of the providence of the Lord, as all things are. And he had his perfect will to use these last 3 years to really bring in some new families. Prior to that, we were worshiping in our home with mainly Julio and one neighbor who were the most regular attendees. So it was our family, rather large family, but Julio and who would come and be with us on Saturday and Sunday. On Saturday, we would give them some classes like in theology and church history, And then on the Lord's Day, we would have worship. But then we had sold a piece of property to this family. If you want to go ahead and start the photos, please. We had sold a piece of property to Rocio, who is Julio's sister. We were very close with the family. They would come and visit us for a while. And then also to Julio's parents. So we bought about 2.5 hectares, which are about 5 acres. And so we sold half of our property to Julio's family. A quarter was to Rocio, who wanted to move away from Santiago because of all the things that you meet with in the city, and they thought it would be a better environment for their children, also to be near us and participate in the church. And this is the Santander family, who some of you may have read of in our prayer letters. Well, they had bought the property, and we encouraged them to come and trying to get them there before Julio and Joanna would be all by themselves while we went on furlough. And so at the beginning of March of 2020, we helped them move down, and they started living in a little house that we had built in front of our own home, and they were going to build a home behind us. So they moved down, and they had at the time Rebecca and Josefa. And most of these pictures that are out here in the green like this with the families, I don't know what happened. Oh, it's probably just the, there we go. It's just running out of time. Let me make sure it's got, looks like it has power. It's on now, but okay. Excuse me. So, they came down at the beginning of March, and then Julio ended up getting, he stayed there for a while. I was going to introduce Rocio, who is his sister, Jose Luis, her husband, Rebecca's on the bottom, and Josefa on the top. And she was expecting a third one at the time. I was saying that these were from 2020. So right before we were expecting to go on furlough, we took a bunch of pictures to be able to have something to show you. A little challenge with regards to the photo presentation, but we do have some good ones for you. Now, back in that time too, this was around that time, we had more or less this group after a worship service on the Lord's Day. In the middle is a family. I'm not close enough to them, but you can see them between us and between the Santander family are the Medina family. And that's Elias, which is Elijah, Jessica, Juliana, David, and Pablo. And they were up in a city way up north, which is probably about 25 hours away from us by vehicle, Antofagasta. We're 6 hours south of Santiago. And so they were way up north, not too far from the desert, but it's on the coast. And the Medina family was struggling somewhat with homeschooling and wanted to be around someone that could kind of show them the ropes. And so we had actually met them at a homeschool conference. We've always been promoting homeschooling a lot. And so we spoke at several homeschool conferences. And they came up to us and were very friendly. Juliana and Sarah exchanged email addresses and kept in touch a little bit. And they came down and visited us in our home. And then they wanted to come down. They asked if they could come down for 6 months and be in our house basically Monday through Friday so Jessica could feel more comfortable with homeschooling and have Cheryl's help and counsel and our direction and so on. And so we said yes, and they did that. They rented a home in Santa Clara, came down for those 6 months. We think that also Jessica was a little concerned about their church situation. They had moved out of a Pentecostal church and then a Baptist church, and now they were in a kind of a church that some kind of a brethren group, but it was associated with Living Stream, or really run quite centrally by Living Stream Ministries in California, and it's very top down. And they also kind of taught that they were the only church, that all the denominations were bad, all the other churches were wrong, and really they were the only true church. And so she was very concerned about that. And so they came down, and Jessica especially at the time was very open and willing to learn about the Westminster Confession of Faith. She'd never heard of they had never heard of the 5 points of Calvinism. They were just eager to learn, especially Jessica. And so she and Cheryl had a lot of good talks, and they wanted to come down and be here for that time. It went very well. And they decided to build a home in Santa Clara. They're both kind of from a real estate agent type background as far as their work. And also another thing that COVID did was it opened up this possibility for many people, not so much in their case, but in the Miranda's case, of working from home, which freed them up from, you know, not necessarily having to stay in the city. But so they moved down I think they finished their home around the end of 2021. And so it was in 2020 that they came and stayed with us for the 6 months. Then in 2021, the Medina family came down and began to worship with us, especially Jessica and the children. Elias was very reticent or slow to kind of come on board. He's really opening up now, and we're very thankful for what the Lord has been doing in his heart and life, and ask you to keep praying for them. This is Sarah and Samuel. Samuel is the third child of the Santander family, the one that was in the womb when you saw the picture. So Samuel was born, and Sarah became nanny for about a year, did a great job. And there's their house behind this picture. And then a fourth child was born to Rocio and Jose Luis, and he's in Rocio's arms. And right behind Rocio is Joanna, Julio's other sister, and his on my right are Soledad and Julio. Now, I know you're probably not going to remember all these names, but it's good for you to know that I know them, right? Here we are at the baptism of Felipe, their fourth child. So, and I had the privilege of baptizing each one individually when they were born, even when they were living in Santiago. They would come down, and I would baptize the babies, so all four of the children. Now we ask you to pray for their salvation, that the Lord would solidify them in the way of the Lord and build up their faith, or give them faith and straighten them out, right? We've got repentance and faith that we need from the Lord for their salvation. So that's part of the request here for these families, that you would pray that the Lord would save their children as well. Now this is Susan and Juan, and they, as you can see, she's also great with child at this moment. This was actually one time when they were visiting our home. We'd invited them over. We were celebrating Juanqui's fourth birthday, and Susan is great with child. They actually moved down then. They were fed up with all the COVID stuff. They couldn't go to church because they were obligated to wear the masks. They had little policemen making sure you had it up in the mask and in the church services. And so they weren't attending. That was once that the church opened up, which in Chile, they were closed for many months. So things were a little bit worse than here. His ability to be able to work from home opened up the door for them to move, and they decided to come down and move with us too. This is a family that we also met through the homeschool conference. So these two families, the Santander family and the Miranda family, they both lived in Santiago, which, like I said, was about 6 hours away, roughly. Well, Juan has become since my right-hand man. He came down in 2022 at the beginning in January, and a godly man that loves Charles Spurgeon and so on, and he's come from is that fair? That's a quick description. Anyway, he loves the Lord, and he's been able to keep things going while I'm away. They moved down in January of 2022, and Susan's also very energetic with the women and so on. And they also have four children, because the fourth one's in the womb here. So that's Paloma, the oldest, Juanqui, Aurora, and Lemuel is on the way. I think you'll see him after a minute. But this is the Miranda family. And like I said, he was from a Baptist background. But we sat down with him for about a year and went over the subject of the mode and of the subjects of baptism. And one day they said they were ready. Their eyes were open. They wanted to have their four children baptized. And in the case of this family, just like you had last week, a whole family, four children being baptized. In this case, they were younger, but we baptized all four at the same time. And so they're really on board. The Santander family and the Miranda family are like the core families now that we have, plus ourselves, and half, almost the entirety of the other family that moved from Antofagasta. So these are kind of the core families now. But Juan and his family and the Santander family are the ones that are more completely like-minded already. Elias is in progress, and we ask you to pray that they would continue to grow and prosper. But Jessica is very much on board. Here is an English class, which is another thing that we do. Cheryl would lead some singing and in English and teach memory verses in English and so on to the class. That was a good way of attracting people from the community to come in, and young people that wanted to work on their English. And so that was a blessing. Then I would come in and teach them some of the basic grammar. So that was a good fellowship time. In 2021, now this isn't our church. Excuse me. In February, in the heat of all the restrictions and so on, which Chile, I think, was in the top five of the most restrictions in the world, and they also had a tremendous injection campaign. They said that it's about 85% were injected and so on. But here, a pastor in the middle, I'm right next to him, but you can't see him down at the bottom. The two of us there, Pastor Rodrigo had invited us to come and do a homeschool conference at their church, and then later on to come to this camp that they were having there in February 2021. On the left is some of our group, some of the folks that came with us, and they asked me to preach on some subjects that would kind of calm the people down. You know, God is in control of all the viruses and everything, after all, in this world, and we're in His hands, and also help with homeschooling. They had about 14 or 17 families that were interested in homeschool that were all kind of new to it. So they wanted some counsel. Cheryl did a time with the mothers, and I would get together with the fathers, and we did a couple of messages for the camp that week. And it was a blessed time of fellowship, especially during COVID, when mostly you just saw everybody with masks outside of this situation or at home. So we had a blessed fellowship. Now, he's from kind of more of a Reformed Baptist background, kind of like something similar to John MacArthur, Pastor Rodrigo. But they actually have also grew a lot. They were from the town where we lived before, which is a big city, Concepcion, and they were not able to use their building for meetings, so they had to meet in homes and so on, and all sorts of problems in the city. So they bought this camp, which was about a half hour away from us, and invited us down, and we had a blessed fellowship, and they're actually building, or they have built, a facility so that they could meet and have services there. This is during the camp. We're preaching outside here. Another means of outreach for us has been the Taekwondo. Our children, our family, has enjoyed martial arts quite a bit. And it's given us a real good opportunity to meet new people from the community. So they were originally doing it in Bulnes, in this town about 10 minutes away from us. And during COVID, they had a small place, not much, I think smaller than this, or about the size of the front here. and enclosed, of course, and so the municipality wouldn't let them use it for even this exercise. So we said, why don't you come to our backyard and you can do it there? And our kids, you know, they have set up the tatami and so on. And so for about 6 months, the Taekwondo was conducted in our backyard here about maybe a couple times a week. And that led to a Taekwondo club, which is the South Korean version of martial arts, being instituted in or organized in Santa Clara. So now we have a little club that meets in a place not too far from us. And that has also led to being able to get to know new people and invite them into our house and so on. In fact, Josiah at some point mentioned to Jocelyn, one of the 15-year-old girls that were with our family in our home, I think, at the time, why don't you read the New Testament? She was a daughter of an evangelical mother and a Roman Catholic father. Thanks. I've got three now.
Okay.
Thank
okay.
you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. Remind me to drink it. we've had contact with the people. And one thing we like to do, we have morning devotions as a family in English. And in the evening, we try to do it in Spanish and have any people that happen to be with us in the evening sit in on our family devotions. Gives a good opportunity for evangelism. And so some of the young people would be in with us when the kids would invite them to play frisbee or whatever. And also Taekwondo activities or families that we got to know through this. The instructor is the one in the red there. I forgot what I was saying earlier, but anyway, it's given us a lot of good opportunities. Oh, I was going to say, Jocelyn, ask you to pray for her because she started reading the New Testament. She I guess her dad was Roman Catholic. She didn't profess at all Christianity, but she's started reading the New Testament and said she wonders why she never did it before, and got to John and said, John is her favorite book. And then you got the Romans. He said, Romans is your favorite book now. So that's a really good sign. So please pray for Jocelyn and her salvation. The Lord would do a work there. And she, I think she told Sarah she would like to visit with us for worship when we get back sometime. And then there's a couple of other girls, twins, that have been in our home quite a bit. Now, on the Lord's Day, we have morning worship right in our home and evening worship as well. And in the afternoon, we have a Bible class. We were doing a resource center, which we met some people that Josiah will show you in a little bit, over in another part on the other side of Santa Clara. But then during COVID, they said we couldn't keep renting that house. So we started doing it in our home. And that was good for other reasons as well. We're at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, roughly. We have this Bible class for the children. And in our case, the children sit in, like I think here as well, in our worship services. And so it's good to have something for them on their level that they can be particularly interested in. We sing some choruses. We give a Bible lesson. Here, Jose Luis is running through a memory verse with the kids. Now, this is a family that you may have heard of. Joaquin and Isaac are the children. And about 4 or a little more years ago, Cheryl and I decided to invite them, if they would like to have Joaquin, the older child, homeschool with us in the family. Now, the parents both work. That's Francisco and Marjorie Gomez. And this is the Gomez family. And so Joaquin and Isaac are basically kind of like our adopted children. They have come in 5 days a week and been with us for the homeschooling and even been learning the shorter catechism and so on. And it really has helped them tremendously with English, but also spiritually. They sit in our devotions in the morning, and they're not always as short as some of the kids would like them to be, but anyway, we pump them with the scriptures, right? And ask the Lord to save them and try to teach them to pray. And Joaquin has been with us for 4 years, and Isaac for about 3 years. And they say they really miss us, and the parents have been growing, and they've always kind of visited occasionally. But once we got the other families, they started visiting more regularly. And please pray for Francisco, Marjorie, and the Gomez family here, especially the kids. They've really come a long way and grown a lot spiritually, and we're very thankful for the opportunity to have discipled them in that way. Isaac also has learned violin from Sarah, is that right? Who was teaching him violin? Anna. Okay, excuse me. Anna. Anna teaches violin and piano to some of them, and Sarah is the main violin teacher, but Anna teaches Sarah. Anyway, here's Katie, who's also been learning, and Sarah likes to put together recitals with the help of Anna and others, of course, and that's a big activity when the families come. This is upstairs in our home, and this is one of the recitals. They've been very nice fellowship times and hear the children playing their instruments. And then that was Katie on the right. Here's John Baptiste, who was studying piano and violin and getting his certificate. Sarah prepared these certificates for everyone. Here is Isaac working on his math during one of the regular school days. His brother Joaquin. Here is, this is also 2020, this photo. Julio is to my right, in between myself and the Santander family. So that was my student, Julio. He now is coming down about once a month while we're away and preaching once a month down there. Stays with his sister for about a week or more. We also have had some homeschool conferences down in our own house. This is in the backyard. We have also had some Reformation Day conferences, one up in Santiago and one, a couple or three in Bulnes, which is about 10 minutes away from us. Here's the day that the pastor in Concepcion that we knew from before had asked if he could bring his church over, and we have a little homeschool conference and help, and that was a blessed time of fellowship. Here we are on Thursday night when we have prayer meeting. When there's a good sized group, we divide up the ladies downstairs and the boys and the men go upstairs. And so that gives more opportunity for praying together. And it's a blessed time. I love hearing the children learning how to pray and ask the Lord for what they need. Here are the ladies downstairs that day. We had particularly good attendance that day. And there's one family on the left there, Sol, and her daughter's on the right here in the front, Trinidad. Vincenzo was upstairs. This is in our living room. They visit from time to time. We're praying for them and seeking to evangelize there. It's kind of a tough situation because she's a single mother and the two children from different fathers. But we appreciate your prayer for Sol and Trinidad and Vincenzo. And they'd like to be with us for homeschool activities as well. But they have visited occasionally with her mother on the Lord's Day to various services. This is celebrating John Baptiste's 8th birthday with Pablo and Juanqui. I'm going to have to go a little quicker. But here is Juliana when she recited the 107 answers to the shorter catechism all at once in Spanish. So she was a real go-getter. Our children have done it in English, and she wanted to learn it too. So Juliana learned all 107 answers and was able to recite it in front of the rest of us on, I think it might have been a Saturday evening or something along that line. So we praise the Lord for that. So she's getting a little gift, and here she is with her teacher, helper. That's my wife, Cheryl. That was, by the way, that's Jessica, David, and Pablo, the rest of Juliana's family there, with missing Elias at the moment. Here's another family that the Lord brought to us. More recently, Rodrigo and Michelle. However, they live a good distance away, so they're only able to come maybe two or three at the most, two times a month roughly, they like to come be with us for the whole day on the Lord's Day. And they have two children, Nehemiah and Josiah, that are right behind them. Now, this happens to be Michelle's birthday that we're celebrating. But the Lord's done a real work in their lives. Rodrigo is growing a lot and occasionally gives a message as well in my absence. And so we have basically a rotation. We decided that while we were away, we wouldn't have the morning service, but we have they continue with the evening worship service. And there's a Reformed Baptist pastor that I'll show you in a minute with his family, and they come down once a month. He comes down and preaches the message, and then Juan preaches once a month, and Julio once a month, occasionally Rodrigo, and I think there's an elder from the Reformed Baptist Church that was coming down to preach, and so on. So it's covered for the month. We really praise the Lord for providing that while we're away. They also have some men's meetings that they continue, and ladies' meetings on the Lord's Day as well, and they wanted to continue the lunch, because we would have morning worship, lunch, all together, and then the afternoon Bible school and the evening worship service, all there in our home. So a lot of fellowship. But this family we knew them from Concepcion, so we've known them a long, long time. And they decided to come start visiting on the Lord's Day. So they drive about an hour and a half or 2 hours, which is unusual there. But a lot of children around. We decided to make a trip to the snow. I don't really have time to talk about it, but it's you go two in the wintertime. If you want to get to the snow, you drive about 2 hours to get to the mountains, or three. Here we are with another family that has been learning English, and we got to know this family through Sarah's poster, seeing if anybody wanted to take violin. And so the father asked if the son, Emilio on the right, could take violin, and we're praying for Ruben's salvation, the father and the whole family. One of his English assignments, his English is actually pretty good, better than mine probably. and he read through, his assignment was to read through J.C. Ryle's Thoughts for Young Men. And he really loved that. So we had to read Duties for Parents too. And pray for his salvation, please. He's been coming along great. This is a fellowship after the morning worship. And one of our evening devotions when Anna and Sarah were watching the little Miranda children. And this is Pastor Gabrielle, the Reformed Baptist pastor that's coming once a month right now. Matter of fact, I think he'll probably be serving the Lord's Supper in about a month or so for us while we're down there. And I've asked Josiah to run through quickly some of the friends that he's continued to work with after our time at the Resource Center.
These are some of the people that I know from Chile, so I'll just probably say their names and a little bit about them. So these are two cousins. This is Alejandro and Hans, and they're both going to high school now, so I'd like to ask you to pray for them. It's not a very good place to be. A lot of the ones in high school are marijuana and stuff like that, so ask you to pray for them that they would, that's probably not even the worst thing they do there. So I'd like you to pray that they would read the Bible and that God would keep them safe. And this is Alejandro and one of his older cousins, Juan. So I ask you to pray for him. He said he's going to start reading the Bible. So if you pray, God can use that in his life to save him. And this is Abraham. This is an older picture, but he's still going to school. I ask you to pray for him that God would keep him from temptation, and also that he would read the Bible, and that God would turn his heart to Jesus. And here we have one of Abraham's older sisters, and also she has a little girl, and so pray for her. She actually started coming to our church, but she came several times, but she hadn't been coming while we're away. So pray that she said she'd like to come back when we're there. Maybe she'll start coming again, so pray for that. And these people, Strange Mission Works not as distant as it used to be. You could, if you knew a little Spanish, actually meet them on Instagram and talk to them or something like that. So, and this is the tall one, although he's kind of below. But anyways, he's the tallest one there. He's Nicolas. And Nicolas also started reading the Bible. Actually, interested in it, and so we can pray for him. Those are some of his family from Santiago. So pray that God will save him and that he read it diligently, as he has been doing, and God will use that. And those are all pictures I have. So the next one.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Well, Josiah's been very, active in going and spending time with these young people, and he has, played soccer with them a lot and had opportunities, many opportunities to talk with them, and so on. So, I ask you to pray for all these young people, and maybe a local mission could be started there sometime. I just have a couple videos I'd like to show you that are about 30 seconds each, so they're not very long. Before sharing a few prayer requests. This one is in our, as you'll see, our kitchen and our living room. We just turn around the couch or the couches and they sit there while we have the worship service. And also, I'll go ahead and put it up here. I think it'll start. Yeah. Usually in this section, we had more musicians that particular day because we were getting ready to go on furlough and Rocio was going to play the flute for us while we were away. This will give you a good flavor of what our worship service is like, although we knew we were going to have lower attendance this particular day, even though we had some visitors, but Rodrigo and Michelle weren't going to be able to come, and Francisco and his family. So oftentimes we'll have seats in this side. In the kitchen as well. You can see the pulpits over on the right. Okay. Okay, sorry it's cut off there, but okay, this other one was actually after I had asked them. We were already here in March of this year. We arrived in on the 15th. We passed through, we spent about a month in Guatemala and Mexico, but we finally got here. And I asked them during that period if they might be able to send me some pictures, so I wouldn't have to be showing you pictures from 2020. But we haven't got those pictures of the different families yet. But they did send this video, which they made on April 2nd. So after the evening worship, they had good attendance that day. And April 3rd happened to be our daughter Faith's birthday. So in deference to 1 Corinthians 14, I want to read you a translation of what they're going to sing here. They decided to make this video to wish Faithy a happy birthday and to greet us all. So they sing, "We wish you a happy, happy birthday, that God Almighty may bless you. Happy, happy birthday, happiness from God, that you may receive it in your life here and there in eternity." So it's a little Christian variation on happy birthday, right? That we've learned down there.
Feliz cumpleaños deseamos para ti, que Dios omnipotente te quiera bendecir. Feliz, feliz cumpleaños de Dios felicidad, que tengas en la vida y allá en la eternidad.
So as you can see, it's a real good fellowship, and this was after after the worship service, the evening worship service here at the beginning of April, and we like to bring the table back into the dining room and have a little coffee or tea around the table in the evening. At times after the evening worship service. So we're there basically all day on the Lord's Day. It's a blessed fellowship, and the folks really enjoy it. But we ask you to pray, please, for all these brethren while we're gone. I have one little prayer request list here, if I can find it. There it is. We do have a prayer card. There's a bunch of the prayer bookmarks on the back table. Let's see. I have one here I can show you. But anyway, you know, I think probably most of you know what it looks like. Please pick one up and remind you to pray for us as you're reading a book, or if you want to put it on your refrigerator. We need all the prayer that we can get. And also, oh, I didn't put it out there yet, but in my bag I do have a sign-up sheet if you'd like to receive the prayer letter. Great quarterly publication that comes out. So remind you also to pray for us and give you a little update on what's going on with us. We ask you to please pray for liberty, because we need that to be able to travel back and forth to get down there, and also for homeschooling, for health freedom, and not to be injected with something we don't want to be injected with, and also for travel even in within Chile and going from one place to the other. In COVID, we experienced a real totalitarianism and quarantine and all sorts of experiments that they were working on to take away our freedoms. And last year, 2022, they had a whole process of trying to rewrite a new constitution. And that failed. We praise the Lord for that. But then they went ahead and did it again for this year. So in December, they're working on a new constitution right now. In December, they're supposed to vote on that. So please pray that the current constitution, which guarantees certainly important liberties and so on, that if it be God's will and mercy, that this new one would not be approved, or but whatever would glorify the Lord most in terms of allowing the country to continue to have liberty and us for liberty to work and serve the Lord there. And there may be liberty to serve the Lord there, but as another thing too, right now it's much, much harder to get into hospitals and so on. As before, please pray for the brethren and the salvation of the children, for wisdom for us, which we need a lot of it, and guidance from the Lord, and for the outreach with those young people and others that we're working with in evangelism, Ruben and his family, for example, and for our health. So I appreciate very much your support, your prayers, and everything. Maybe we can close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do ask thy blessing as we worship you this morning. And we thank you that we can serve you in every place where we are. In Christ's name, amen.